From the KLYT Broadcast Studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. I appreciate you listening. We're always amazed at how many people are interested in talking and talking about our faith and the reasoning that goes into that. And I want to talk today with Dr. Brian Nixon. Dr. Nixon is the chief academic officer for Veritas International University. He's also an assistant pastor at Calvary Church, in charge of publishing and a bunch of other things. Dr. Gary Byers is in studio. Dr. Byers has a long history, both as a pastor and involved in archaeology. He is working for Trinity Southwest University and interacting with Veritas, and we're so appreciative that he's here. We're going to have Dr. Collins a little bit later on in the program, we hope, and we have Dr. Joseph Holden, the president of VIU, on the phone. Dr. Joe, how are you?
Really good, Jim. Thanks for having us on. Glad to be with you.
Well, I wanted to kind of tie in. Dr. Byers has been working at Tal al-Hammam, which they've been on the radio a number of times talking about the ancient city of Sodom and the discoveries made there. And Dr. Holden, of course, Veritas has three schools, a school of theology, a school of apologetics, and a school of archaeology. So I wanted our listeners to kind of get an understanding of what apologetics is. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Nixon. Tell us what apologetics is.
Well, the simple answer to that is apologetics just is a reasoned defense of the Christian faith. So it's taken from a Greek word that just means defense. But broadly speaking, apologetics is an interdisciplinary field that incorporates theology, incorporates philosophy, hermeneutics, evangelism, and archaeology. And that's one of the reasons why we at Veritas incorporate those three main streams of theology, biblical studies, and archaeology, because they really do fall in the broader expanse of what apologetics is.
Dr. Nixon, Dr. Holden, you've both had the privilege of knowing Dr. Norman Geisler. He was a co-founder of your School of Apologetics. Dr. Holden, tell us a little bit about Veritas International University and your philosophy between the three schools.
Sure, Jim. You know, we were founded in 2008 by myself and Dr. Geisler. We saw that, you know, much of the church and many of the institutions were losing its grip on sound theology and on the classical attributes of the nature of God. So we went ahead and founded a school out here in Southern California, and since then we have grown exponentially, and we have graduated many graduates from all over the world, even in places that are hard to reach, like Pakistan and places in China and so forth. So we're really thrilled about its growth. And our philosophy of the education is to teach in a classical, evidential-oriented way. In other words, we align ourselves with the traditions of Augustine, Anselm, and Aquinas, and teach things that are classically oriented, which means that we believe in the traditional attributes of God, that we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And that's something that is infused throughout all of our programs and all of our courses, and that's why our three schools are so powerfully linked together. We have the college and seminary that deals with biblical studies and theology. Then we have our apologetic school that deals with defending the faith and philosophy of religion. And then we have finally the archaeology department, which is a tremendous department that really reaches into the ground and digs up all kinds of data and evidence and evaluates it. And they all work together, because you have to know what you believe. That's the college and seminary. Then you have to defend what you believe. That's the apologetics. Then you have to support your defense of what you believe. That is the field of archaeology. We're fully accredited with TRACS, the Transnational Association of Christian Colleges and Schools, and we have degrees that range from bachelor's all the way up to the doctoral level in various topics of study, theology, apologetics, archaeology, biblical studies, Islam, and so forth. And so we're thrilled about what VIU has to offer. And if you ask the question, which I think is a good one, what separates us from the other choices that students have, we have that classical tradition. We actually believe in a conservative, traditional approach to the Bible and to the nature of God from which all other doctrines flow.
Dr. Holden, so I want to address that, what you just said, because I think the words conservative kind of mean something that may not necessarily be attractive, because people automatically associate that with politics in some way. And so I'm going to skip all the way down my list. And I think what you mean by conservative is that the perspective of the school is an uncompromising view of the inerrant Word of God. That is really a unique perspective, even in Christendom today, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what we mean by conservative is that we believe in the traditional attributes of God and an understanding of the fully inspired Scripture along with the inerrancy that follows from that inspiration. So, you know, we're not talking politics here. We're talking theology and biblical studies. And there is two big camps. There's the progressive and the liberal end of theology, and then you have the more traditional, classical, or what sometimes is called conservative scholarship at the other end. We would definitely be on that traditional, classical approach to the Scriptures.
Dr. Holden, is it wrong for me to say that you're trying as part of your school to prevent more liberal views from sneaking in, because you would consider those to be unbiblical perspectives?
Of course. I mean, usually you just look at a school once they're founded, and then they tend to drift over the decades, more left, more left, more left. Dr. Geisler always said, steer right in order to land where you need to be in a traditional way, because we all tend to seemingly veer left. And yes, and that's the concern we had when we established Veritas, was that we were losing a grip on what it means to be a Christian in a fully biblical sense of the word.
I love it. Dr. Gary Byers, come on, I didn't say that very smoothly. Dr. Byers is in studio with us today, and he's been part of the excavation at Tal al-Hammam. Now, for our listeners that listen on a frequent basis, that is the ancient site of the city of Sodom. And amazing discoveries have been made there, Gary. You came from being a pastor to being an archaeologist, and I know you're doing some PhD work and that kind of thing right now. And tell us a little bit about what the discoveries are. I know a lot has been discovered. You've been excavating there for 16 years. Tell us the big scientific discoveries that are part of this apologetic that we're talking about.
Well, and if I can lead into that just a second, Brian. No, you're Brian, you're Jim. I know the difference. And hi, Joe.
Hi.
So let me just say, my first excavation was at Tel Mikna, the biblical city, the Philistine city of Ekron. Mm-hmm. And we found a tablet there, a stone monument in the temple that said, you know, this is Ekron. Wow. And, you know, how wonderful that is. I've excavated at two separate sites looking for the city of Ai that Joshua captured, defeated, destroyed, burned. And first one didn't work out so good, but the second one did. We think we can take you to the place where Joshua defeated this small fortress of Ai, just like the Bible says. I've have the privilege to dig at Shiloh. And in the 5-7 years now that we've excavated there, we found what we think is the city gate. We have found what could be the evidence of the tabernacle, and we've certainly found evidence of the Levitical sacrificial system, especially with the left side of the animal, the side that was given to the priests. You don't normally you see that in a normal situation like that, but we did. And then, of course, I dig at Tal al-Hammam. And what we found was a city in the place, in the region that the Bible puts it, and we found stuff from the time periods that fit what the Bible says about Abraham, and we found a destruction that is unlike almost anything that's been known in ancient Near Eastern archaeology. And it was a destruction, a celestial destruction, not terrestrial by human hands or even by earthquakes or volcanoes. It was something else. And in fact, just as we were starting the excavation in 2005, one of our friends and associates from outside of the area said to Dr. Collins, you know, what the Bible says about the destruction of Sodom sounds like an airburst. And this actually first came up in the 90s. And Collins said, what's an airburst? And he explained it to him, and he goes, I think you're right. So as we started the dig, Collins had the thought in his head that maybe that's what it was, but how do you prove it? How do you find it? Well, almost we didn't find it. It found us. And just the most amazing series of circumstances, the evidence pops up right into our face, right into our hands. And of course, since then, we've had experts deal with the material, as chemists, astrophysicists, geologists, and they said, yeah, that's what you've got.
And there's actually scientists that study airburst, meteors exploding.
That's exactly right.
On Earth or above the Earth and destroying. You've got all kinds of amazing discoveries. So I want to ask a question, but it's really kind of a comment that I don't personally see very often. Gary, you did this excavation for 16 plus years. You had people from all over the world joining you on the excavation. It was really kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
As you were north and east of the Dead Sea above the Jordan Valley, there had been searches for the ancient city of Sodom south of the Dead Sea. And it always cracks me up when I think about Dr. Collins when we ask him, how did you find it? And he said, well, I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually read the Bible and found out where it was going to be. What does tall mean? Is that is a specific, that's like a mound?
Yes. In Arabic, the word tell with two L's,
tell. Okay.
We say it in English, mm-hmm. the word tell, to talk to someone, but same word. Or in Arabic, it's also said tall. And depending on which Muslim country, Arabic country you're in, they'll use one or the other more. And in Israel, they've always used tell. In Jordan, maybe just to be different, they use tall. And in Hebrew, it's the same word tell, but it's with one L. So one L tell, two L's tell, or tall with an A and two L's, and those all mean the same thing. And it's a man-made mound of destructive material
as opposed to
a mountain.
Okay, and here's a fascinating thing about all this data you collected over 16 years. And the data is you search in squares, you document how deep an artifact is, where it is geographically in a three-dimensional kind of way. So there's coordinates, there's video that was taken. Of course, we've had Daniel Galassini on, who was your videographer for much of it. And a lot of this data has not been made available to the public. But that, by the way, is part of the plan for Veritas International University to take this public and to make sure people have it as a resource. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to know, Gary, why your team made the call to turn over this data to largely secular, unbelieving scientists and archaeology and airburst scientists and physicists. And talk to us about why that decision was made to use those folks to evaluate all this data and what was the result.
Well, two things. The Bible to us is the ultimate source of truth. The Bible is true, and it can stand up alongside of any truth we've got in science or anything else in the universe. So since the Bible's true, we don't need to be afraid to let people who don't necessarily believe what we believe have access to our data, especially when they're experts. And so it's really, it was important to us to get people who had the credentials and the experience to properly deal with our data. And that should speak volumes to those who are our critics, because we weren't talking to our people. In a sense, we were talking to their people.
And you weren't manipulating the results. That's what I find extremely fascinating.
Three times, the lead article that's gone out about the site, three times in Nature Journal, Scientific Journal, three times it's been challenged by our detractors. Three times the editors went back and looked through everything and said the article stands. They're trying their best, just throw whatever they can up against the wall, and nothing sticks.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk to Dr. Brian Nixon about how you apply this. What's the apologetic? I know Dr. Holden has a long background in apologetics, being friends and a co-worker with Dr. Geisler, and Brian was one of his students. So I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. This is something that I hope will encourage your faith as you think about how science backs up everything the Bible says. Not that the Bible needs that, but it is a fact. And it's amazing. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. Jim Williams this afternoon with you on ABQ Connect. Dr. Joseph Holden is the president of Veritas International University, and he's on the phone with us this afternoon. Dr. Gary Byers is in studio, and Dr. Brian Nixon, a chief academic officer and the dean of the college with VIU. Brian, I want to know how you take these discoveries that Dr. Byers was talking about. He's obviously said, hey, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the way it was described in the Bible is exactly what they discovered in mm-hmm. the destruction layer. There's actually, in the, I guess, geologic column, there melted everything. So yeah. How do you use that to share Christ with people?
Yeah, and as I pointed out at the top of the broadcast, that apologetics is an interdisciplinary field. So what we will do is we will take the best research in any given field and use that to defend, to give a reasonable defense of the Christian faith. So in philosophy, we'll take the classic philosophical arguments, the ontological argument, the cosmological argument, the moral argument, and such. And we'll use those to point out that, hey, there is a God, there is a moral God, and the God loves you and wants relationship with you. The same is with archaeology. We will use the archaeological evidence to show the reliability of Scripture and then use that to hopefully evangelize. Because one side of apologetics that people don't usually see as apologetics, they see it as just a heady, you know, intellectual process. But really, part of the interdisciplinary facet of apologetics is evangelism. We want to present the good news of Jesus Christ. So what we'll do is we will take these findings, be it in whatever field that it is, and use them to present a cogent understanding of the gospel, to show that first and foremost, Jesus did rise from the dead, that the Bible is a trustworthy source, and then hopefully make a claim of commitment to Christ.
You know, it's funny. I was in a Bible study this morning with a group of men, and there's so many things that the Bible talks about. Like it talks about Mary being a virgin and then having a baby, our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit came upon her. There's also a story that a lot of people know in the Old Testament, even if they don't believe, and it's a story of a man that lived in the belly of a fish for a few days. And then all of a sudden, there's a story last week about a shark swallowing somebody.
As a whale. It was a whale off South America.
And they came out.
And he came, it caught all on camera. His dad was, as a matter of fact, it's funny you say that. I was watching that news source, and I said, right there is some great evidence, some apologetics for what happened to Jonah. Because what you see on camera, and it's as clear as day, a whale comes up, swallows this guy's son, dips down into the water, and obviously not 3 days, but he immediately comes up and spits the guy out. And you catch it all on film. So, you know, any questions as to whether a whale could swallow a human and a human live, at least we have a microcosm of that happening.
Isn't that interesting? Dr. Holden, I'm going to spring something on you that's not on our little list of questions. I'm going to read Romans 1:20. It says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made. So they are without excuse. For the purposes of the show today, I'm going to say they are very incredibly intelligent people, scientists that understand atoms and cell structure and philosophy, and they might understand the created world better. Well, I know they do better than I do, because I don't know about DNA and all of these scientific things. But this, the Bible says they are without excuse, Dr. Holden, and I used to worry so much about defending our faith, and this scripture alone makes it so I don't feel like I have to defend it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great passage, because Paul's very clearly trying to reach an unbelieving world with the truth of the gospel, but he's speaking in those unbelievers' specific language, and that language is the language of creation. And so creation can tell us a lot of things. It won't preach the gospel to us. That takes an actual person like Paul or us, because we share and evangelize. But the creation tells us something wonderful about God's nature. Number one, that he's powerful. Number two, that he's intelligent. Three, he's ordered. Mm-hmm. And four, in Romans chapter 2, it says he's built a conscience even into every person's heart to discern right and wrong. So Paul's point there is to say that though creation cannot save you, it is enough to condemn you if you don't respond to the light that God has given.
Yeah.
So this is something that's very clear, that we can use nature and general revelation, as it's called, to defend the gospel, to show that God exists, that he's there, and that he's loving and benevolent and provides everything we need. But ultimately, it's going to take a clear presentation of the gospel itself to get the message across.
You know, on Joe's point, Jim, faith and reason are compatible. God wrote two books, essentially. He wrote the book of creation, and he wrote that first, which we would say science deals with the book of creation. And then he wrote, or he inspired, the book of the Bible, and that is the path of salvation. Yeah. And those two will not contradict one another if properly interpreted and properly understood. So faith and reason are compatible, and creation is, if you will, a signpost that the gospel, the proclamation, will really hone in on and showcase it for people to respond to.
You know, it's interesting the way you're defending the faith and talk about it even today, but I want to make sure people understand that it's not just people who don't believe in Jesus that are objecting to, quote, apologetics. Unfortunately, there's been people that, in their minds, they use the Bible, and Dr. Geisler has 12 points of apologetics that he addressed, and one of the things he said is that people that are in the church will say, well, the Bible does not need to be defended. Number two, Jesus refused to do signs for evil men. I mean, these are things that they are using one or two verses, I guess, out of context to defend why we don't need apologetics. It says Paul was unsuccessful in his use of reason on Mars Hill and later discarded the approach. I don't actually think that's accurate at all. Dr. Holden, knowing Dr. Geisler and all the study that he put into this and the reason that he felt that was so important, how do you address people within the church that object to this field of study?
Well, the best thing to do is to remind them, as Dr. Geisler often did, was that apologetics is not a suggestion in Scripture. It's not an opinion. It is actually a command. 1 Peter 3:15 is very clear. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Give a reason defense. Colossians 4:6 tells us, Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to you ought to answer each man. And then Philippians 1:7, Paul said he was put here for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And even Titus 1:9, it tells us that we should hold fast to the faithful word as been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and, listen to this, convict those who contradict it. Jude 3 is very clear. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, to contend or to wrestle, to strenuously wrestle for the faith. And Dr. Geisler, during his classes, he always would remind us of Socrates' statement. He said that Socrates said that the unexamined life is not worth living, and then Dr. Geisler would say, well, the unexamined faith is not worth believing. So you have this push by Dr. Geisler and most apologists to see the scripture as giving a command, and we can't be choosy about those commands. We aren't less spiritual if we use our mind. Even the prophet Isaiah said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And reason is one of those things, as Brian mentioned, the faith and reason come together and they're supportive of one another. They're not contradictory to one another.
I want to, my son, my oldest son, he's in his early 30s. He is an auditor. He's a CPA and an auditor, and he audits companies primarily. And I like what you just said, Dr. Holden, in that an unexamined faith isn't worth believing. And we shouldn't be afraid of auditing our faith. Yeah. Gary, why did you decide to go into archaeology?
You mentioned I was a pastor, became a believer in my first year of college. After that, transferred to a Christian institution, in those days, Lynchburg Baptist College. 3 years later, graduated, and I grew up in a church that split a whole bunch of times, and so the last thing I wanted to do was be a pastor. But after 3 years of Bible college, that's what I felt called to do. So I moved to Frederick, Maryland, started a church, and in the midst of that, I felt such a need to understand the people of the Bible better. I'd go into people's homes to just meet and talk with people, often cold calls. And I'd look around the room to find something that I could relate to. So, you know, sports fan, you know, anything that I could connect with them on, and use that as a basis to gain some comfortability for them, and then to share with them the gospel, or just to encourage them in the spiritual walk. So I realized one day I wanted to know the Bible people better. And the best way I knew how to do that was to understand where they lived, what they lived in, how they dressed, what their world was like. So I could communicate that better, so church people could understand the Bible people better. Mm-hmm. And that got me started, and then I couldn't stop.
I love it. Dr. Gary Byers is an archaeologist in studio with us today. We're with Dr. Brian Nixon, Chief Academic Officer of Veritas International University, and Dr. Joseph Holden, the president of VIU, is on the phone with us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot more about apologetics and how you can defend your faith. And really, my intention today and trying to put this show together was to really encourage our listeners, Christian people, that you have not lost your brain and you, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll be back after these messages.
ABQ Connect.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I always want to make these shows interesting, but one of the things I always try to avoid is what I call Christian ease, using all these little buzzwords that we kind of use in the church, because so many people that haven't been to church, and I actually think it's funny, this Sunday I had a conversation yesterday with a person that said, oh, I don't know if I like going to church while all those people think they're perfect and this and that. And I literally looked at him after they disparaged everything we do at the church. And I said, you've actually never been to our church before, have you? Because the people there are humble. They're there because they need God. They are all fall short. We call it, we're all sinners, mm-hmm. but they all recognize, I think they're all very nice people. I mean, so I want people that are involved in the sciences and people that are just really brainiacs. I don't mean to be offensive. I'm complimenting you if you're a really, really smart person, because I'm not that. So Dr. Nixon, how can churches leverage Veritas to help train pastors, teachers, and lay leaders? Because they need this information, not just the theology, but they also need to understand how this intertwines with discoveries of the world.
Yeah. You know, Veritas at its essential core is a community of learners. And community of learners goes back to the early church. Jesus had a community of learners. There was Jesus, the teacher, and then he had disciples. And later on, the disciples, they had further disciples or further students. And it got to the point of when you get to Augustine, after he became a Christian, he lived a wild life, and then he became a Christian, and then he started a community of learners, and he actually called his community Garden. It was Garden Monastery or Garden Church, and their whole aim was to discuss scripture, to discuss theology, to discuss all of these things that were important to a Christian worldview, and then send those people out to replicate and to make more disciples and learners. So I would say, kind of what Joe had said earlier in the broadcast, that we are a classical university. We're following those lineages of Jesus building disciples, of someone like Augustine building disciples and then sending them out. That's exactly what Veritas is doing. We want a community of learners who take seriously the Bible, who take seriously theology, who take seriously archaeology. We want to train them, we want to equip them, and then we want to send them out in whatever, you know, facet they're in. They could be a pastor, they could be a lay leader, they could be a school teacher. Wherever the Lord has them, we want them to be planted where the Lord wants them to be, and then they could sprout, they could grow.
Let me give you a website if you're listening right now. It's viu.ves.edu, viu.ves.edu. That is the Veritas International University website. Their phone number is 505-407-4307. Dr. Holden, how would you like to see, say, a local pastor in Albuquerque? They have a pastoral staff. Do you do things to, update the way people, what would you call it? Continuing education? Mm-hmm. Are there continuing education programs, degree programs? Tell us about what is offered by the school.
Absolutely, Jim. We have residential and distance learning courses. I mean, I know that pastors are very busy people, and they can get on and progress at their own pace. If they want to take a course online, that's one avenue. Or they can attend classes there on the campus there in Albuquerque. Or thirdly, you can host a seminar or a conference that we can bring some speakers to encourage and come alongside their ministry, and the pastoral staff and all the people within the church can attend. And we can discuss all kinds of different issues on the Christian worldview, whether it's God's existence, the reliability of the scriptures, you know, ethical issues, scientific area, archaeology in the Bible. We can come to them if they can't come to us. And we have been doing that for many years with great success. And we're looking forward to reach out to any church that would love to host a conference.
Gary?
Yeah, in our particular school, archaeology, biblical history, most of our students, and by the way, and I don't know if Joe, if you and Brian even ever thought about this, we probably have the largest stable of graduate students studying archaeology and biblical history in the country, evangelical or not, and maybe even in the world. We've got an amazing student body. Now, it's only all total about 60 grad students, but almost virtually everybody is over 30 years of age. most are already established in careers. I would say most of them already have at least one graduate degree. Yesterday in class, this last weekend in class, we have a guy that's 70 years old. He's a concierge neurologist. But like all these others, they've always loved the Bible, and they've got careers. Some are retired, some are not, but they love this stuff, and they want more. So you don't have to be in full-time Christian ministry. Some of them are, but many of them just love God's word. And of course, in the field of archaeology, some have said, I've always wanted to do archaeology. So it's a wonderful opportunity for anybody who has a heart for this stuff. We've got stuff in our three schools that can really scratch that itch.
Yeah, and it comes back to the community of learners. You could be a community, someone who wants to be part of that learning community at age 18, at age 28, 38, 68, 78, whatever it is. It's people who want to come and invest themselves.
What about that 18-year-old that's just graduating from high school?
Sure, sure. They would join up for our BA program. And hopefully in the future, we'll have an AA program as well. So anyone could join up from 18 to 108 if they so choose, because it's about developing a community of learners surrounding a classical Christian worldview. And so we invite anyone and everyone who would prescribe with our mission statement to join us.
Dr. Holden is the president of Veritas International University. And again, I want to give the website. It is viu.ves, that's V as in void, .edu. And I want people to go to the website, check it out, see what's offered. You can also call 505-407-4307. The university is now located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A lot of people may not know that, because Dr. Holden alluded to that it started out in California, and many people don't remember this, or maybe they haven't heard it before, but it used to be on the campus of Calvary Costa Mesa. And Dr. Holden, talk to us a little bit about each one of the schools and kind of how they interact and how you would take classes if you were a prospective student.
Sure. Yes, there's three schools. And the first one is the VIU College and Seminary. This is for professional degrees. It's for those who want to study the scriptures, get into the text, learn the languages, though the languages are taught throughout all of our programs. They can really focus in on theology, on biblical studies. We offer bachelor's, MA degrees, and Master of Divinities, and even a doctoral program of ministry there in that particular school. It's a great place to start, because the Master of Arts in Theological Studies is the bedrock for all the other programs except the archaeology program. So you can't go wrong by starting with what we call the MATS, or the MATS program. 36 units, you could finish it in 2 years or less with full-time study. It's excellent. And then the second school is the Norman L. Geisler's School of Apologetics. And this is where we offer degrees in philosophy of religion, which discusses knowledge and what we call metaphysics, or reality. It studies how we know God exists, how to give a defense of the Christian faith, how to form a biblical worldview from the scriptures and from common sense and from philosophical reasonings and so forth. And this is the place where you learn how to defend the faith. You give a solid answer, like 1 Corinthians or 1 Peter 3:15 tells us. And then the School of Archaeology, you have Dr. Byers and Dr. Collins anchoring that particular school. They do digs. They've been digging in the Middle East for years and years. And we just finished up that, as Dr. Byers was describing, the excavation of the biblical city of Sodom. And so you have the evidential approach, and they work together wonderfully, because the college and seminary tells you what you believe, and then apologetics shows you how to defend what you believe, and then the archaeology offers the support for how to defend what you believe in an evidential format. And so the schools work great together, and I'm just thrilled about the prospect of the future. In fact, even Brian might be able to share a little bit more on this, but we're currently putting together a new AA and BA program in biblical studies and classics, where people are going to be able to study the books of the Bible and get into the text and learn how to communicate it, to preach it, to teach it, and also the classics that are involved with those biblical books, like Augustine, Anselm, and Aquinas. And we're looking forward to that. So stay tuned. That's coming up in the near future.
Yeah. And on that, this classical Christian thought track, as Joe had pointed out earlier in the broadcast and just reminded us right now, it will concentrate or springboard off of Augustine, Anselm, and Aquinas. And we're kicking off the first live class here in Albuquerque. I'll be teaching it on Augustine. And we'll be following what I call a paideia, which is a word that the Apostle Paul used in relationship to education, a paideia formwork, which has didactic teaching, meaning I'll be giving a lecture introducing you to Augustine. But then we'll also be doing a Socratic discussion. We're actually going to be reading and discussing Augustine's Confessions in class. So this isn't just go read it, and if you're lucky, we're actually going to be discussing it in class, and then you'll be doing a project based upon another of Augustine's writings. But let me also point out about, you know, the what we're finding at Veritas, and this goes back to something that Gary had pointed out, that when he was mentioning all these digs he's been on, and Gary has been on a lot of digs, and so has Dr. Collins. He mentioned Shiloh, and Shiloh is actually now the director of Shiloh is Veritas's first graduate of archaeology and now runs his own dig that we partner with as well. So we are reproducing ourselves as a community of learners. So Sodom isn't the only dig. There are other digs that are happening, including Shiloh and including others, and it's exciting to see that our community of learners are making an impact, not just in the field of archaeology, but truly in the world. We, in some ways, we're changing history. 20 years ago, no one knew about Sodom. A lot of people doubted it. Now it is truly on the map, literally.
You know, one of the things I want to talk about when we come back from this break is I'm going to talk to you, Dr. Byers, about you have had people at Tal al-Hammam, ancient city of Sodom, that were Muslims and archaeologists. And I'd like to know how you get along and how that all works together, because I think you've been blessed by a lot of those people as well. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
585 Live.
Jim Williams is with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I love doing the show because I am never the smartest person in the room. And if I ever was, you wouldn't want to listen to it. So I think it's amazing the intellect that we have, the people that are of faith. They live by faith, not by sight. But then these guys are so amazing because in apologetics, it's kind of like you find all of the things and explain that you can see.
Yeah.
It doesn't direct your faith, but it encourages your faith. Dr. Byers, there's a lot of us who have lived at least a part of our Christian life feeling uncomfortable around people that don't think as we do. And so before the break, I said, you are actually interacting in many of these different areas where you're doing excavations with people that are Muslim believers. And so I want to know how you interact with that and what is the hope you have for them?
Yeah. In Jordan, we actually are partnered with the Department of Antiquities, and we have to have, we're required to have some of their staff on the site with us, working with us. So I can tell you this, that twice we've had Christian Jordanians with us. There are a few.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And we've had a couple of them. But most of the time they're Muslims. Some of them are practicing and they're faithful. Others by name. Of course, we don't have any Christians like that, do we?
Yeah.
Christmas and Easter. So we have all kinds of Muslim folks. This our last dig season. We had a medical doctor and his medical doctor wife from Turkey join us, and so it's an amazing thing. they're interested in what we're interested in too.
Well, and you're not having arguments; you're having conversations.
Yeah. They need Jesus just like we need Jesus, and we who know Jesus still need Jesus every day in our lives. And so we're just passing on gently, lovingly, in fact, as much by the way we act as by what we can tell them.
Yeah.
And let me say, Jim, that the archaeology is a great bridge because it's based upon the evidence, the facts, the science.
Yes.
And Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, I don't care. Most people respond to the facts, to the science. And so it's a tremendous bridge, particularly when they see that the facts align with the biblical witness.
Yeah.
Brian, do you have any doubt that future discoveries in science, you take the discipline, could be biology, could be archaeology, you name it. Do you have any doubt that discoveries of science in the future will meet exactly what you expect because the Bible, it's going to be in agreement with the Bible?
Yeah, as I pointed out, God wrote two books. He wrote the book of creation and he inspired the book of the Bible, and those two will not contradict. So I think rightfully interpreted, properly understood, the two will be in complete and full agreement. Now, that doesn't mean our understanding of the text will change. There may be something that we thought we had a right answer in history, and then through further research in the sciences or understanding of hermeneutics and the interpretation of Scripture, that it expands our understanding of what it is. And so we may have to alter or change some views we once adhered to. A classic, silly example, but I'll say this. Maybe in the Middle Ages, they thought the earth was flat. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that the earth is flat. So science showed us that the earth is not flat. So what happened is an alignment between the biblical record and the scientific record came into, you know, they conjoined. And therefore, we understand that the earth is round.
Dr. Holden, we have about a minute left, so I don't mean to dump this heavy question on you, but obviously most of us have been educated in public schools where we found out this theory of evolution, and that's been really proven as not even rising to the level of a science. Where do you hope to see education go in regard to these kinds of things in the future?
Well, I think that, they've been studying evolution, the theory of, and it's still a theory. It's not a fact. I would hope that they would balance it out with some common sense, with some biological data that actually confirms the creation account that we read about in Genesis. Bring up archaeology, bring up paleontology, and give that a full-throated defense and communication along with, because if they don't want to remove evolution, and they're not going to do that anytime soon, most likely, at least have the counter argument to creation by God in Genesis chapter 1 and following. So I would hope that they would get equal time, but in the meantime, we can educate students in logic, in common sense, in accurate biology, accurate archaeology, accurate philosophy and how to think. I think that's the biggest breakdown in our schools today, is learning how to think correctly. And if we think correctly, then most likely evolution is a moot point because nobody would endorse it based on logical reasons.
I love talking to you guys. Amen. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.